being diagnosed with diabetes and different things that have happened in the past year, couple years have been hard to get through. It's been hard to work through, but God has been faithful, saw us through it, and He has been with us every step of the way. And every step of the way, all these things that are happening have taught me a lesson, have brought upon a thought or an idea about Jesus Christ and Christianity. Back in March, on the 29th, I lost my father to a heart attack. Once again, you guys were so faithful to pray for us for that. But just giving you some more of the detail about that. It was kind of obviously it was a sudden thing. We didn't know it was coming. He seemed to be pretty good health. He'd had some stents put in a couple years back, and he made some recovery from that and things of that nature. And of course, he had some other health issues. But it seemed like he was getting better, so it was kind of all of a sudden. And so as that happened, my family was kind of rocked as far as what we were going to do, because my father was our patriarch. He was, of course, the oldest living male. And if you know that about my family's makeup and my father, he was the glue that held us together. He got the family together all the time. He organized things like family reunions and family get-togethers and holidays. And he was the typical, stereotypical, if you will, patriarch. He was the one we went to for guidance, for advice, for wisdom. He was that part of our family. And so when he passed away, it was kind of, for lack of a better term, chicken sort of head cut off, because we're trying to scramble and figure out what we were going to do. In particular, what we're going to do for his funeral. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever planned a funeral, and my prayer is you don't ever have to, but it is not fun. Planning a funeral is not fun at all. I said to myself then, I want to make sure my funeral is planned out so that whenever God does call me home and I get to go home to glory, the people back here have to deal with that when I have to worry about funeral arrangements for myself. But I want to ask you this question, and I want you to think about it for a minute. Have you made funeral arrangements for yourself? I'm going to ask that question again. Have you made funeral arrangements for yourself? Yes, your physical funeral arrangements have to happen once you leave this earth, and once God calls you home. If that's your desire, there needs to be XYZ for a service to happen in remembrance of you. So have you started planning your funeral arrangements? Not only have you planned your funeral arrangements for yourself physically, but have you already had that spiritual funeral for yourself? I'm going to get into that more here in just a minute, but have you had that spiritual funeral? Have you had that time where you've died to yourself? Have you had that time where you've your old self has passed away, and now your new self is living? Has that happened for you? Have you had those funeral arrangements? And so we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. So if you open your Bibles to John chapter 12, we're going to be in verse 23. And as you all know, funerals are not fun. They happen if people have that desire, and we have to plan them and things like that. The first thing that has to happen for a funeral to happen is someone must pass away. Someone must pass away. Unfortunately, for a funeral to happen, somebody has got to die. Or in this case, something has to die. So in John 12, this is Jesus talking. And it's verse 23, it says this. Then Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So have you began to make funeral arrangements? Or did you make a funeral arrangement for your life? Fact of the matter is, my father passed away this year. We had not had funeral arrangements ready, but we had to make them, of course, very quickly, had the funeral. And once we had the funeral, the last thing we did with my father's body is we put it into the ground and buried it. That was the last thing we did. Last image, the exclamation point period on it was him going into the ground. Now, that was my father's physical death. My question to you this morning is, for your spiritual part of your life, have you had that death of your old self? I've been a Christian now for going on 15 years. So I'm still very young in my faith, and very young in my walk with Jesus Christ. But 15 years ago, I can tell you, 15 years ago, almost 2 months ago now, 15 years ago in July, I died to my old self. Because myself before Jesus Christ was a very, very angry person. Myself before Jesus Christ was a very bitter person. Myself before Jesus Christ was a very selfish person, and very much all about what I wanted and what I thought my life should consist of. When I met Jesus Christ at that time, when I came head to head with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to me, I said, I have to die to my old self. I have to die to my old self, number one, because I don't like my old self. I don't like the things that I've been doing, the sin that I've been committing, I don't like. Number two, I want to be forgiven. I feel guilty for the sin that I've committed. Now that I know about it, I'm aware of it, I feel guilty. I need to be forgiven of that sin. So I need to give myself life to Jesus Christ. And number three, I want to die to Jesus Christ because he died for me. I want to die to my old self for him because he died so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And so right then and there, I began to make the funeral arrangements, if you will, for that old person. That old man had to die. He had to go and he had to be buried. Have you made those funeral arrangements for yourself? Have you had that time in your life where you said, you know what? I'm meeting Jesus Christ face to face. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've committed sin, and because of that sin I've committed, the Bible says I deserve death. Not just that moral death, but that death that says I'm separated from God for eternity. But I know that I can get forgiveness through Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, his death, burial, and resurrection. Have you had that time? I'm going to give you an invitation at the end of the service also, but just think about it. Have you had that time where you've stopped? You have a time in your life, you don't necessarily know the exact date or the exact moment, the exact hour, but I can tell you 15 years ago, I know in July, on the 12th. Now, I know mine is because I'm kind of good with dates like that. But I know there's a time in my life where I stopped. There was a break in my life, if you will, where I said, you know what? This old life is gone. Here, I live this new life now. Have you had that time in your life where you said, you know what? I can tell whether you're 5 or 500. Do you have a time in your life where you said, I can look back and say, yes, I stopped right here. Life stopped here for this old man, and this new man began to live, or woman began to live this way and for the rest of the time. So you have to die to yourself. And it's very, very clear when it says that the kernel, when it dies or is put into the ground, the seed dies, yes, but then it produces more. So when you die to yourself, you produce more. At my father's funeral, I appreciate my father's funeral. Once again, one of the hardest things I ever had to do. But because of my father's passing, it brought together family. It brought together some old friends and some old people. And I was able to deliver a message from the Lord. And people were encouraged and inspired by the words that God spoke that day. And because of that, I know for a fact that because of that, there's several people that said, you know what, we got to get back in church. We got to get back to living the way God's called us to live. We got to get back to being disciples of Jesus Christ. We got to get back to serving and worshiping our Lord and Savior, our God. And that happened not because I gave a powerful or an overwhelming message, because they're inspired by my father's death, if you will, and that seed of him dying multiplied. See, but you don't have to physically die to multiply. When you die to yourself and you allow God to use you, you can multiply. When I died to myself 15 years ago, God began to use me in the ministry like I never would have thought. 15 years ago, I can tell you right now, I would not be on this stage 15 years ago. I would never guess this was the calling that God put on my life 15 years ago, to be up here preaching and praising his name, leading worship, even being a youth pastor. That was never, ever my desire growing up. That was never my desire even after I came to Christ. You could have told me that 15 years ago I was going to be a youth pastor now, and I would have believed you. I would have never believed it. But God had a plan the whole time. But the only way for his plan to work, the only way for me to multiply, if you will, was for me to die to myself. I had to put that old man to death and let that new man rise up and walk in righteousness and truth and in faith. So my prayer is that you guys have done that. Have you put yourself, have you put your old man, old woman, old self to death so that your new self can rise up, worship, and praise God the way you've been called to do so? Second part. Another one of the hardest parts about the whole funeral thing was, where were we going to lay my father to rest? Where was he going to be buried? Where was he going to reside? Where was his body, if you will, going to reside for the rest of time? Once again, I don't know if you guys ever planned a funeral, but my family, praise God for this one. We were all pretty much in agreement. He wanted to be buried next to his mother, so he resides, his body resides, if you will, in Green Acres here in Tulsa, next to my grandma, his mother, on that Savage. And so that's where he laid, that's where his body's laid at. Now, when my great grandma died a couple years ago, I wasn't part of this planning, but there was an argument about where she wanted to be buried, where we were going to bury her. Some said, well, she wants to be buried with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're like, no. Some said, no, she's a Christian, so she was buried over here. No, she wants to be buried next to mom, but she wants to be buried next to her great aunt. And there were so many disputes, and they're trying to pull and figure out where they're going to bury her. And really and truly, when you think about it, the location does not matter. Where your mortal body lies, the location, that does not matter. Yes, it's great that my father's here, buried here in Tulsa, and I can go, 25 minutes up the road, visit his graveside, put down flowers, and do that whole thing. But I'll tell you, the first Memorial Day that I ever really remember recognizing, if you will, was this one. I went to my father's grave, and we put the flowers on his grave, and I can tell you right now that there was no overwhelming feeling of just relief or anything like that. It didn't matter. That putting flowers on his grave did not help me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. If that helps you, if that's how you grieve, that's fantastic. But for me, it was like, okay, we did this, but now what? Because his mortal body is in the ground. It doesn't matter. Where he resides, his mortality resides, doesn't matter. I'm more worried about where my spiritual side is going to reside. And the only way for you to know where your spiritual side resides is if you die before death, if you will. So when that old man died 15 years ago for me, I knew where my spirit was going to reside, in heaven forever. I knew that I was going to be at the right hand of the Father. I was going to be in heaven worshiping with the angels and singing praises for the rest of my life, whenever it was that God called me home. Now the flip side of that, if you don't know, if you have never died to yourself, the old man has never died, the flip side of that is your soul resides in hell, a place very much real like heaven, but this place is a place separated from God forever. Hell is the hottest of hot, the darkest of dark, the most evil of evil. It's a place that you do not want to go to. And I tell you these things not to scare you. I don't want to scare you into salvation. I want to scare you into believing in God. But I want to tell you very much the reality of hell as much as I tell you the reality of heaven. The reality is hell is a very real place, so is heaven. They're both very real places. And you have a decision to make about where you're going to reside. A decision to make about where your spirit resides for the rest of your life, for the rest of eternity. Now, like I said, my father's body resides in Green Acres. That's where it's going to stay, and that's where it's going to be at for the rest of time. His spirit, my prayer, my prayer is that it's in heaven. My dad was not a very spiritual man, if you will. He was not a very outright proclaiming Christian. I think there's some glimpses and there's some ideas that maybe he did give his life to Jesus Christ, and we had some conversations, and I had an idea that hopefully maybe he did, but I can never be 100% sure about whether he did or not. My prayer is that he did, and that he has, and that it's ways I'll get to heaven, I'll see him when I walk into those pearly gates. But that's past. I want to talk about now. We want to talk about you in the present. Do you know where your spirit's going to reside? Have you made that arrangement? Whenever my dad died, before he died, he said, I want to arrange that. I'm going to be buried next to my mother. That was made, before he died, so we knew he was going to be buried here in Tulsa at Green Acres next to my grandma. But for you, when you die, when your spirit dies, do you know where you want to reside? Do you know where you've already predetermined where you're going to reside? Because you can do that. You can predetermine where your spirit's going to reside if you give your life to Jesus Christ, or if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. There's only two options. There's two places you can reside. It's either heaven or separated from the Father in hell forever. Those are two places you can reside. You can choose that now. You can choose that now where your spirit will reside. In John chapter 4, this is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. Starting in verse 18. Now Jesus and the Samaritan woman were going back and forth about her and her infidelity and her wrongdoings in her life. But she's trying to ask Jesus Christ about salvation. She's asking about how she can be forgiven, she's asking about the Pharisees and things like that. And so he picks up here in verse 18 and says this: the fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, physically, where you reside does not matter. Physically, where you reside does not matter. What matters is where your spirit resides. And if you've been saved and you give life to Jesus Christ and you follow him and you trust him for your salvation, then your spirit is worshiping in spirit and in truth. You're worshiping and you reside in the truth. Your salvation is in the truth, is in that belief. Now if you don't reside there, you're trusting something else for your salvation. You're saying, you know what? I can be good enough. I can read my Bible enough. I can pray enough. I'll come to church enough. I'll volunteer somewhere enough. I will do all these things enough to make me be a follower, to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to make me get into heaven one day. The problem is if you put your trust there, you're saying what Jesus Christ did doesn't matter. You're saying what Jesus Christ did, you didn't need him to do. You're saying what Jesus Christ did is null and void, and you can save yourself. The problem with that is the Bible says very much the opposite. The complete opposite, that you cannot save yourself. The only way to be saved is by grace. It's what you've been saved, so that no man can boast. So, once again, have you decided where will you reside? Will you reside heaven, hell? Has the old man died? Have you made an arrangement for where that man's going to be buried, in heaven or hell? And the last thing, and it's where I'm spending most of my time, this is Luke chapter 9. We're starting in verse 23. It says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Now, they say you never look better than on your funeral day. They say as sharp dressed as a corpse in a casket. We did my father's funeral, and they dressed him up and they shaved him and they did all these things. They put makeup on him to make him look, you know, presentable, make him look good. And he did. He looked pretty good. But I will say, the term never looked better. I don't know if that's true or not. But he did look good in the casket. He did look dressed up. He looked like presentable, if you will, in that casket. I've been to many funerals where people have been dressed up and been made up and made to look good. My question to you is that all you're doing? So you died to your old self and you're following Jesus Christ. Are you just making yourself look good? Because the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ said, if you want to follow him, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. So what you look like doesn't matter. What you look like and how you think you should look doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you're following Jesus Christ, you're denying yourself and taking up your cross, and you're following him. So many times we do things in our lives in the name of Jesus to make ourselves look good. And these can be good things. These can be great things. I'm going to sing on the praise team because it looks good. It makes me feel good. And I think it looks good in the eyes of Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead a Bible study because it looks good and it sounds good. I'm going to go on a mission trip so I can show people how awesome I am and how great I am at following Christ and how great I am at spreading the word. I'm going to volunteer here. I'm going to give money here. I'm going to meet this need here and meet that need. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to boast about them so that I look good. I'm going to do all these things because it looks good. Once again, all those things are not bad. Those are great things to do, but it's all about a matter of why we're doing them and what our mindset is when we do them. I'm on a mission trip to Guatemala almost 4 years ago now. And I remember on that mission trip, my main focus was, I'm not doing this for anything else but Jesus Christ. Did I want to travel? Oh yeah, look, I love traveling. I wanted to go, I've always wanted to go out of the country. That wasn't my motivation for going. Did I want to experience something new? Yeah, I wanted to experience something new. Once again, that wasn't my motivation for going. My main motivation for going, and what I prayed to Christ about, what I prayed to God about, I said, God, when I go on this mission trip, make sure that I'm going to spread your gospel, tell people about you, and it's nothing about me. And I can tell you right now, God made that happen, because there were so many hiccups along the way with that mission trip that it made me definitely forget about me and myself and focus more about what I was called to do. There's so many things that try to stop me from going on that mission trip. Passport delays, plane delays, stuff happening at work. I had a back injury. All kinds of things happened that was like, man, I'm not going to be able to go on this mission trip. And the guy's like, no, you're going to go. You're going to go and you're going to do it. See, if I thought about myself and what I wanted, I wouldn't have gone. And I went on this mission trip, and I can tell you right now, some of the best worship experiences I had with God were on that mission trip. I remember we were doing worship one time in the chapel, and they asked me to get up there and speak, and I spoke, and the translator was translating, and you know, you see the nods, you hear the amens from people, and then I remember we sang this song. It's called Broken Vessels by Hillsong, but it's the words in English are, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And then it goes on to say, you know, we're all broken vessels, saved by amazing grace. And the fact of the matter is, I realized then that whether it's in Spanish, English, whether it's in German or Portuguese, whatever it was, that the message still remains the same. We're all broken vessels, saved by Jesus Christ. And right then and there, I was like, you know what? They don't need me to do this, because this interpreter said everything I said. And if he wasn't here, the message would still remain the same. If I wasn't here, the message would still remain the same. They were all broken vessels, saved by grace. And so at that point, it's like we have to make sure that we're not so much focused on ourselves. So a lot of times, like, I got to make sure I look good. I look sharp. Don't get me wrong. You want to come, you want to be presentable, but it's all about your mentality and your focus. Are you getting dressed up? By dressed up, I mean doing those things, worship, or leading worship and giving Bible lessons and volunteering and giving money and, you know, meeting needs. Are you doing all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's blessed you with stuff to be able to do that? Are you doing these things to show people, hey, I'm important. Hey, I'm relevant. Hey, I'm needed. Hey, look at me. Look what I can do. Look what I'm doing for you. Look what I'm doing for the kingdom. Because the fact of the matter is, if that's the motivation, you might as well not even do them at all. Because as good as those things are, if they're not done in the name of Jesus Christ, it does not matter. Whatever we do, no matter how good it is, how good we deem it, if it's not done in the name of Jesus Christ, it does not matter. And it has no standing, no bearing here, in the spirit and the truth. So it's kind of what we can go back over. First of all, have you died? Has that old man, old woman, old person, have they died? Have you began to make the funeral arrangements for that death, if they have not died? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about, man, has my old self died? Am I still living the old life I've put to death? Because maybe you did have a time in your life where your old man or your old person died and you put him to death. But maybe recently you've been living like your old self. Like, oh man, I've gone back to that old self. The fact of the matter is, in that same situation, God can still forgive you. You can come to the altar, pray, ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you for that same situation. Or maybe you've never ever put that old person to death. Like, you know what? I'm still living this life separate from God. I'm still living this life of unrighteousness, uncleanliness, and I want to be saved. You can do that too this morning. We'll have that same opportunity and invitation this morning to do that. But you put him to death. Secondly, after putting that person to death, have you decided where we reside? Have you decided, I'm going to live in heaven, I'm going to live in hell for the rest of my life? I'm going to put him to death, I'm not going to put him to death. Those are your two options. If you say, I want to put them to death, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to reside in heaven. If you decide, you know what, I want to continue to live this life, continue to do what I want to do, and continue to live my life how I see fit, then you can go to this place called hell and live there forever. But you have a choice. But once you make that choice, you have to decide afterwards, what are you going to look like? So if I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I decide I'm going to live in heaven forever, what do I look like? How am I going to dress myself up? Am I going to be dressed in righteousness, the righteousness that comes from the Holy Spirit? I'm going to dress myself up in these things that make me look righteous, make me look good. Because once again, like I said, the fact of the matter is, no matter what you do, if you don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, it does not matter. If you don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, it is null and void. Even proclaiming the gospel. I know that sounds kind of controversial, but if I'm up here preaching the gospel, it's not in the name of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. Yes, you're going to hear it, and you're going to be able to take it and use it. That's fantastic. But as far as on my end, and what I'm going to gain from it, what I deem as far as my garner from it, is nothing, because that means I've done it for myself. If I'm up here preaching for myself, what does that matter? Because I'm not Jesus Christ, and I'm not the Savior. I'm not the one who can save your soul and change your life and get you that ticket into heaven. And so my prayer is you guys have done that. If you have not done that, if you haven't had a time in your life where you can say, I've stopped, I know that my life stopped here, my new life started here, and I live that new life now. If you haven't had that time in your life, we're going to do that this morning. We'll give you the opportunity to let that old person die. Put that old person to death. Put that old way of living to death, and let your new way of living come out. Maybe you've done that. You have that new life that started, but you've gone back to your old life. Like, you know what? I've started a new life, but I've been living in that old life. I've been living in that sin that I put to death. I've been living in that way or that addiction that I buried a long time ago. Maybe you've gone back to that, and maybe you need to come up here and ask for forgiveness for that. Even if you don't have to pray, you don't have to pray with me or anybody else. You can come up here to the altar and lay down at God's feet, and He'll forgive you for it. Or maybe this morning you're saying, I've been dressed up, and I want to join New Joy Fellowship. I want to join the church. I want to be part of what's going on here. I see you guys praising, worshiping, and I want to be part of that. I want to move my membership from wherever my membership is. I want to move to here, to New Joy. Or maybe it's something else that you want prayer for, or maybe you need some counseling or somebody else to listen to you. We're here for that. We want to do that this morning. We want to make sure that everybody knows that this is a place where you can come, be prayed for, be loved on, that people will listen to you and will guide you in the spirit of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Jocelyn to come to the piano and just play for us for a little bit. As she's playing, if you want to come to the altar, you come to the altar and you lay down at God's feet. If you want to pray with somebody, I'll be here. I'm going to ask Deacon Drain if he'll come up here. He'll be here. Deacon Darius will be here to pray for you guys or pray with you guys. Just asking you guys if you need that, if you need prayer, if you need guidance, if you need somebody to hear you out, you want to join the church, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, we want to do that this morning. We want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. After I pray, we'll have a time of music, and I'll be silent, and we'll let the Lord and the Holy Spirit speak. If that's you, you don't wait, you come. If the Spirit's prompting you, you get up, you come talk to one of us about what it is that we can help you with in the name of the Father. So Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your blessings and your mercy and your grace, Father God. Thank you for your salvation that's come upon us, that is upon our lives. Father God, we're asking that you would just be with us now in this time. For anybody in this place, Father God, under the sound of my voice, who has not known you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father God, that you would just stir their heart up right now. Father God, just pray that you give them a boldness to step out. Come talk to somebody about that. Father God, there's somebody in this room this morning who needs to give their life back to you. Go back to the direction that they've been called to. Somebody who needs to join the church. Anybody who needs prayer, who needs healing, who is hurting, Father God, we're asking that you would have to give them the boldness, give them the confidence to step out and say, hey, I need you. And Father God, as they do that, allow us as ministers and pastors of the gospel to be able to say, hey, we're here for you. We're gonna meet that need and pray for you. So Father God, I thank you for this time now, this invitation. Pray, Father God, you just let your Holy Spirit speak. In your name I pray. Amen.